Hello and welcome to another Naxos podcast in the Naxos Sounds Interesting series, an engaging potpourri of musical topics. I'm Richard Kennedy, and today's theme is humming bees. With temperatures shifting unpredictably, the hibernating bee must occasionally get confused about when it's time to rise from slumber and resume its pollinating routine. In many parts of the world, however, they'll have long been about their business. This week's podcast gives a nod to that vital work they do, and a mention of some pieces that have taken them as their focus. I guess there will be two pieces that first spring to most people's minds at the mention of bees. The composers are separated by around three centuries. The first is the English composer Robert Johnson, 1583 to 1633, who wrote prolifically for the stage, both for plays and elaborate court masks, and is thought to have had a close association with Shakespeare's theatres. Where the Bee Sucks is one of his three surviving settings of Shakespeare's texts, this one from The Tempest, and is almost certain to have been used in early performances of the play. Let's listen to the version performed by Gerald Place and Dorothy Linnell, taken from the album Music for Shakespeare's Theatre.
Where the bee sucks, there suck I. In a cowslip's bell I lie. There I couch when owls do cry. On the bat's back I do fly. After summer merrily. Where the bee sucks, there suck I. In a cowslip's bell I lie. There I couch when owls do cry. On the bat's back I do fly. After summer merrily. Merrily, merrily shall I live now. Under the blossom that hangs on the bough. Merrily, merrily shall I live now. Under the blossom that hangs on the bough. Merrily, merrily shall I live now. Under the blossom that hangs on the bough. Merrily, merrily shall I live now. Under the blossom that hangs on the bough.
Michael Nyman wrote his saxophone concerto, Where the Bee Dances, in 1991 for the eminent soloist John Hall. The title alludes to his setting of the aforementioned Shakespeare text, which forms part of the soundtrack he wrote for Peter Greenway's film Prospero's Books, and which is quoted sporadically throughout the concerto. The title has a further reference to the circular dance of bees as they seek to show the source of nectar. Nyman further explains that most of the material is derived from a four-chord sequence that John once overheard me playing and which he expressed a particular liking for. The work is cast in a single movement. Here's the closing section from a performance by the Ulster Orchestra, conducted by Takuo Yuasa. I'm Expecting You is a poem by the American poet Emily Dickinson, 1830 to 1886. In these three short stanzas, we might assume that the narrator is the fly, her lover the bee, and the frogs and the birds may be male and female relatives. This was set to music by John Duke, 1899 to 1984, who was one of America's foremost song composers. Asked why, as a pianist, his compositions included so few piano works and so many songs, Duke replied, "I think it's because of my belief that vocal utterance is the basis of music's mystery." Judge for yourself in this setting of Dickinson's poetry, taken from the Naxos American Classics album, Between Bliss and Me, Songs to the Poems of Emily Dickinson, performed by soprano Julia Faulkner, with Martha Fisher and Lee Holby on piano. The names of Franz Joseph Haydn and Willoughby Bertie may not seem like peas in a pod, but there is a connection. Following the death of Johann Christian Bach in 1782, the role of organizer of the famous Bach Abel concerts in London fell to Willoughby Bertie, 4th Earl of Abingdon, 1740 to 1799, who fulfilled this function for the next two seasons. It was in this capacity that the Earl invited Haydn to come to London's Hanover Square Grand Concerts, or Lord Abingdon's concerts, as they were popularly known. By the time he did come, Bertie had relinquished the post, and it was under different auspices that Haydn took London's concert life by storm, in 1791 to 92. But the two men were in frequent contact, as Haydn's notebooks illustrate. Fortunately, Bertie's musical talent was more resilient than his susceptibility to extravagance, which ultimately led to his financial meltdown. Here's one of his charming songs, The Wanton Bee, as performed by the group Café Mozart.
To suck the flower sweet, the little wanton bee, the liquid-headed bee, and flew from tree to tree. Deceived by flowery scent, and weak by flowery on rosy sweets intent, to Delia's cheek it flew, to Delia's cheek it flew. Thank you. sting had pierced his heart.
Not so charming are the atrocities that form the backcloth to the children's opera Brundibar by the Jewish Czech composer Hans Krasar. The name of the title comes from a Czech colloquialism for a bumblebee. A few months after the opera was completed, the German army invaded and occupied Czechoslovakia in 1939. Krasar was arrested before the opera's first performance, which took place later in Prague's Jewish ghetto, and was sent to Terezín, a concentration camp that fed prisoners to the death camps. Krasar himself died at Auschwitz in 1944. Shortly after the first performance, everyone concerned with its production, including the boy performers, were similarly transported. Remarkably, Krasar found enough talented instrumentalists among the prisoners at Terezín to be able to rewrite the original piano score, which had meanwhile been smuggled into the camp, for an instrumental ensemble. Brundibar received 55 performances at Terezín. Its casts needed constant replenishing when the child performers were transported to death camps after many of the shows. Although the Nazis exploited the work in propaganda intended to convince the world of their benign treatment of Terezín's inmates, nearly all of the children who performed in the opera were deported to Auschwitz and died in the gas chambers. The plot is a beautiful story of good triumphing over tyranny. It's disturbing to hear Brundibar's words in Little Children, How I Hate Him, seem to draw a parallel with Hitler's rise to power.
Little children, how I hate them, how I wish the bedbugs ate them, how their parents overrate them, if the rude exterminate them. Nasty little children, quiet, don't be loud, don't even try it. You'll find out what troubles are if you bother Brundibar. Here's a secret, don't disclose it, best for me if no one knows it. When I was a tiny sprout, everybody drowned me out. When I was a tender puppy, every bully beat me up. I was beaten but unbowed. I grew bigger, I got loud. I got louder, I got taller, then I noticed some are smaller. Also look, oh glory be, they are all afraid of me. Everyone will be my flunky, just an organ grinder's monkey. If you need an explanation, I've a need for domination. Everybody step and sway now to the tune my organ's playing. My way is the only way now, and there'll be no disobeying. I'm the loudest one by far, the organ grinder Brundibar.
We'll end on a more uplifting note, and an arrangement of Rimsky-Korsakov's The Flight of the Bumblebee. The orchestral original is heard here, as performed by the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra. And with that, we'll send both the insect and this podcast flying off. Thank you for tuning in to this Naxos Sounds Interesting podcast. For the text version, visit blog.naxos.com, where you'll also find an alternative audio series devoted exclusively to new releases from Naxos.